What's up, y'all? Summer's got a different tempo. Everything's a little looser, brighter. One plan turns into another. You hear something, you stay a little longer. Next thing you know, you're somewhere you didn't plan to be. It's those in-between moments. That's where the ideas hit. Conversations stretch out, little memories sneak up on you. And sometimes, it's just about what's in your hand. That color, that chill. The new Tropical Butterfly Refresher from Starbucks. Guava and passion fruit flavors with mango pineapple flavored pearls. Yeah, that feels like summer before you even taste it. Funny how one small stop becomes the best part of the day. Start your summer rhythm with Starbucks. Try the new Tropical Butterfly Refresher from Starbucks.
Moro Casino. America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends, with thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today. Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces.
I only spent on Moto, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Out here, if you're doing nothing, you're doing everything right. Though on a cruise with Norwegian, even if you're doing nothing, you're still basking in the warm sun, enjoying the peaceful ocean waves, you're breathing. Don't forget about breathing. Definitely need to be breathing. So you get to do nothing, or everything, but you still need to be breathing. It's like really important.
Experience the difference with cruises to Alaska, the Caribbean, and Europe. Norwegian Cruise Line. It's different out here. Visit NCL.com, call your travel advisor, or 1-888-NCL-CRUISE. Norwegian Cruise Line ships registry the Bahamas and USA.
This is History's Hidden Killers. Here now, Tony Bruschi.
June 7th, 1977, Pitkin County Courthouse in Aspen, Colorado, a small mountain courthouse. During a court recess, the defendant in a first-degree murder trial walks out a second-floor window. Half an hour passes before anyone actually notices. By that afternoon, the police chief of Aspen has, by some accounts, suspended handgun sales in the town. The lines outside the Aspen sporting goods stores are women. That happens because the system was holding the wrong version of a man in not secure enough custody. There's a wrong question people ask about what happens next in this case, and then there's the right one. The wrong question is, how Ted Bundy escaped from a second floor window, from custody, twice in 6 months? The right question is why the system both times gave him exactly what he needed to escape. He didn't have a brilliant escape plan. He didn't have a Confederate on the outside. He had two different courthouses in two different counties. Both of them handed him the opening he needed, and both times he walked through it. This is our third conversation in Ted Bundy, History's Hidden Killers. Your thoughts are welcome in the comment section on Substack and YouTube as we continue to work our way through this story and this series. And the hiding place this time is the most procedural, the most bureaucratic, most preventable thing imaginable. It's a charge sheet that was too narrow really to describe him. To get there, we have to go back to 1976, February, Salt Lake City, a bench trial in front of Judge Stuart Hansen. Bundy is on trial for the aggravated kidnapping of Carol DeRanche. He waives a jury trial. He'd rather take his chances with one judge than 12 civilians. His own attorneys, John O'Connell and Bruce Lubeck, reportedly try to talk him out of it. He insists Ted knows best. He thinks he can work the room. That's the read Bundy has of himself in February of 1976, that he's the smartest person in the room, that a single judge will be easier to charm than 12 civilians. And he is wrong. Durant identifies him from the witness stand. Hansen takes about 90 minutes to disagree with him. And June 30th, 1976, Bundy is sentenced to 1 to 15 years in Utah State Prison for kidnapping. The state of Utah that in 1976 holds Ted Bundy for one count, one kidnapping. The other Utah names, Melissa Smith, Lauren Amy, Debbie Kent, Nancy Wilcox, they are not on that indictment. Utah doesn't have yet enough to charge. The Washington names, eight of them by now, aren't on that indictment either. Washington is a different jurisdiction, a different prosecutor's office, and another world away. On paper, the state of Utah has a kidnapper in the cell. Utah has somebody who, by the end of 1975, had killed a minimum 16 women across five states, maybe more. And then Colorado comes calling. October 1976, Pitkin County, Colorado charges Bundy with the murder of Karen Campbell. He's extradited from Utah. And by January 1977, he's sitting in the Pitkin County Jail in Aspen as a defendant facing one count of first-degree murder, one count from Colorado, one count from Utah. And the court he's walking into doesn't know what the actual man is. Yes, in Pitkin County, Bundy decides to fire his court-appointed lawyers and represent himself. The Sixth Amendment gives him that right. And as his own counsel, he also gets other rights and courtesies. A defendant mounting his own defense gets, and he knew how to weaponize that. Time in the law library to prepare. No leg irons in court, no cuffs in the building, access to legal documents, motions, books. It was a calculated choice to represent himself. It wasn't ego alone. Now, the Constitution isn't wrong about any of that, about giving rights. The problem is who those courtesies are aimed at. They are appropriate for someone who's not necessarily the one that's charged. They're appropriate for the man. Are they appropriate for the man on the charge sheet? Bundy will prove the answer to that question is no, they're not. And in 1977, that gap was lethal. The Pitkin County Courthouse was small. The sheriff was a thoughtful man named Dick Kynast. Kynast was, by some accounts, a well-read former Jesuit. He ran his jail like a man who believed the man in front of him. The court did not know what was actually in it. Bundy used every privilege the charge sheet gave him. He filed his own motions. He was in the library every day. He was reading death penalty case law, and he was also reading about Aspen, about the back roads, about the mountains. And on the morning of June 7th, 1977, during a court recess, he stepped up onto a desk in that second floor law library that he wasn't being monitored in. He opened the window. He went out feet first, 25 feet to the alley. He landed on his ankle hard. He limped down the alley and across the bridge over the roaring Fork River and into the county of East Aspen. He spent 6 days on the mountain. He broke into a vacation cabin near Castle Creek belonging to a man named Fritz Kaiser. He took a .22 rifle and food. He slept rough. By his own later accounts, he was hungry, cold, and lost. The manhunt on Aspen Mountain was, by the accounts of people who were there, the largest the west slope of Colorado had ever seen. Bloodhounds, helicopters, roadblocks on Highway 82 in both directions, volunteers walking the woods in lines. Bob Bradis, then a deputy and later the sheriff of Pitkin County, walked door to door in town with a poster of Bundy's face. On June 13, 1977, an Aspen patrol officer named Gene Flatt notices a Cadillac driving erratically on Highway 82 just east of town near the Cresthaus Lodge. He pulls it over. The driver looks half dead. Flat looks in his face twice, beard growing in, glasses he's never seen. He looked again in surprise. It's Bundy. He's brought back to the Pitkin County Sheriff's Department, where Sheriff Dick Kynast greets him with the words, "Welcome home, Ted." Bundy, by witness's account, says, "Thank you. Welcome home. Like the man in the cuffs has been on vacation." That is the Pitkin County system in 1977. That is who they thought they had. That's the first escape. 6 days, one window, one sprained ankle, one stolen Cadillac, one officer on Highway 82 who looked twice. The largest manhunt in West Slope history closed because Officer Flat didn't like the way one Cadillac was driving. The system now has him back. The system, you would think, has now learned what it has. The system has not learned what it has. Bundy is moved down the valley to the Garfield County Jail in Glenwood Springs, a smaller town by this point, thicker walls, fewer ways out, the kind of building where, in theory, you don't have to worry about a defendant taking a walk. His Karen Campbell trial gets a venue change. By Bundy's own read, the new county is one where the death penalty is a near certainty. He jokes, by some accounts, that he's being shipped to the death house for Christmas. Then he starts his second project. He stops eating. Not all at once. Not enough to draw attention, just enough. He's giving his meals away to other inmates. By some accounts, over the next several months, he drops more than 20 pounds, visibly thinner. And nobody in that building asks why. He's also working on a gap. There's an opening around the light fixture in the ceiling of his cell. It's supposed to have been welded shut. It wasn't. Bundy widens it. He pushes at it. He waits for his body to be small enough to fit through it. And he's collecting money. Visitors to the Garfield County Jail are able to leave him cash. He hoards it, somewhere over $500 by the end. Taped into the spine of a paperback book, he needs money to get out of Colorado once he's through the ceiling. He needs bus fare. He needs a hotel room. He's planning the entire thing from the ceiling to the bus terminal in Denver with the patience of a man who has nothing else to lose. He's also, the entire time, the polite, articulate young man on the floor below, the one who quotes case law, the one who is prepping his own defense, the one the guards will say later was easy to like. December 30th, 1977, Friday night, New Year's weekend. The jail is on skeleton staff because nobody else wants to work the holiday. The head jailer is out of town. Of course he is. Bundy crawls up through the ceiling into the crawl space between the floors. He drops down, of all places, into the head jailer's empty apartment, one floor up. He puts on the jailer's civilian clothes. He arranges books and a stack of legal papers under the blanket in his bunk to look like a sleeping man, and he walks out the front door of the jail into the snow. He is not discovered missing for roughly 17 hours. 17 hours. A man awaiting trial for murder, a man who's already escaped once, a man who jumped out of a second-story window in June, that man is allowed to disappear from a jail for 17 hours before anybody notices. Here's what he gets done in those 17 hours. Steals a Volkswagen, of course. He likes his Volkswagens in Glenwood Springs, drives it to Vail. The Volkswagen dies on him. He hitches into Denver, buys a TWA ticket, flies to Chicago from Chicago, Amtrak to Ann Arbor, Michigan. He spends New Year's Day in a tavern in Ann Arbor watching University of Michigan football games like it's any other Sunday. Then Greyhounds to Atlanta. Then another Greyhound south. He gets to Tallahassee, Florida on January 8th. And by the time a guard pulls back the blanket on his Glenwood Springs cell and finds books, Bundy's already a state away. He's been a free man for almost a full day before the building he escaped from has even noticed. And a man named Andy Leyba, a resident of Rifle, Colorado, will tell reporters years later that he believes he gave Ted Bundy a ride that snowy night. Leyba has been working a coal mine shift, and by his account, he was driving through Glenwood Springs in the early hours of December 31st in a snowstorm. And his was the only car on the road. He picked up a hitchhiker who looked like he had been in a position that was about to freeze. He gave the man his own jacket. He dropped him off. He didn't think about it again until he saw the face in the paper. The system had Ted Bundy in custody twice, and both times the system gave him the opening. Nobody in either building had yet processed that the polite young law student in their cell was not a Utah kidnapper, not a one-count Colorado murder defendant. He was the man two task forces in two states have been trying to put a face on for 2.5 years. Both escapes are preventable in the most obvious ways. Don't take shackles off the man facing first-degree murder. Wield the gap in the ceiling. Ask why the prisoner in your custody is dropping weight on purpose. Count the inmates over the holidays. None of that is genius security, but none of it happened because the charge sheet on the desk was too narrow to describe who he actually was. And people just aren't great at doing their jobs. The system was looking at him through one count, and he was operating through every count nobody had connected to him yet. That's the hiding place in this chapter. It's not a window. It's not a ceiling. It's a piece of paper that doesn't describe the man it's about. He was hidden the whole time. He was in custody inside the official version of himself. And by the time anybody in Colorado understood what had walked out of that door, out of what happened in that jailer's apartment, it was already the last night of 1977, and Ted Bundy was on a Greyhound bus to a state that had never heard his name. The system that had him in Pitkin County the previous June and in Glenwood Springs in December would not have him again. The last chance to hold Ted Bundy walked through the front door of a jail in the snow on a New Year's weekend, dressed in a head jailer's clothes. What he did in the 3 weeks after he got there is our next chapter. And it's the one that will cost the most. Be sure to join me. Press subscribe so you don't miss it. It's coming up next in our series. Your thoughts in the comment section on Substack and YouTube. We'll continue our conversation right there. Until next time, I'm Tony Bruschi. We'll talk again real soon.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Bruschi and the Hidden Killers podcast.
You ain't heard about Moto Casino? Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto. I like my slots hot. Moto's free to play, like food stamps. In line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic. Keep your eyes on the road. Hop on Moto Casino. Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly. Moto, America's hottest free-to-play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino. Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
10 hours on my feet, traffic, noise, everybody needs something from me. My head is spinning. I just need the world to stop for 1 second. But then I get home, shoes off, phone out, and I open Moto Casino. Hundreds of slots, classic table games. It's my instant reset. The variety I want in the quiet I need.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Download the Moto Casino app today. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Hi, Uncle Laser here. America's built on fast cars, fast food, and even faster women. Moto Casino's built in America. You know what they're fast at? Fast cash prize redemption. You see, only Moto is U.S. owned and operated. Moto, it's American made, because that's who we are, and that's who we care about. Play for free at Moto.us.
Moto Casino's the social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Every dating app swipe is another loss. Gym bros, fake CEOs, straight up losers. So now the only app I open is Moto Casino, because at least there I'm surrounded by winners, real winners, thousands of them. While everyone else is in the single swamp, I'm at home relaxing while stacking bonuses, hitting wins, and playing all my favorite Vegas style games. Moto Casino, the only app worth your time.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Download the Moto Casino app today. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino. America's Social Casino.
10 hours on my feet, traffic, noise, everybody needing something from me. My head is spinning. I just need the world to stop for 1 second. But then I get home, shoes off, phone out, and I open Modo Casino. Hundreds of slots, classic table games. It's my instant reset. The variety I want in the quiet I need.
Modo Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Modo.us for more details. Download the Modo Casino app today. Must be 21 plus.
Modo Casino. America's Social Casino.
Hi, Uncle Laser here. America's built on fast cars, fast food, and even faster women. Photo Casino's built in America. You know what they're fast at? Fast cash prize redemption. You see, only Moto is U.S. owned and operated. Moto, it's American made. That's who we are, and that's who we care about. Play for free at Moto.us.
Moto Casino's the social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Lots of places can expose you to identity theft. That's why LifeLock monitors hundreds of millions of data points a second for threats to your identity, which is way more than anyone can do on their own. If we find anything suspicious, like new loans or changes to your financial accounts, we alert you right away, all through text, phone, email, or the LifeLock app. Save up to 30% your first year. Visit LifeLock.com/iHeart. Terms apply.